And welcome to this edition of Money Matters. My name is Mark Cuniverti. Thanks for joining me today. And today's show is number 348, Money Matters, your economic forum. Today's show is entitled Oil Energy Prices, and Is It More Pain or More Gain Ahead? Hey, before we begin, this is Mark Cuniverti, host of Money Matters Economic Forum. Carried on about 67 stations nationwide, broadcasting the news once a week, various times here on this originating station, KVMR FM, in Nevada City, California. News comes on about 6, I think it's about 6:45 on Tuesdays, and the show is broadcast at around the same time, first and third Thursdays of the month. So welcome. Now, to begin with, we have to give a disclaimer that the opinions expressed here are my opinions only, do not necessarily reflect those of this news media, its staff members or underwriters, and of course, it is not meant as investment advice. Consult a qualified investment professional before making any decisions and do your own research before investing. Investing involves risk. You can lose money. And if I mention any indexes today, they cannot be directly invested into. And I hold California Insurance License 0034249 and I'm a Medicare agent approved in the state of California. Money Matters is about money. As money does matter and matters of money affect us all in some way or another, whether you have a lot of it, a little of it, or none of it. It affects the way we live our lives, our livelihood, and just about everything else in this entire country, indeed the entire globe. Money Matters is about you. We always welcome your input, of course. You can always send me an email at news@moneymanagementradio.com. And the website is moneymanagementradio.com, where everything is free, our way of saying thank you for listening to the broadcast today. So, yeah, the question in investors' mind is there more pain ahead? Or is there more gain ahead? So, you know, by popular request, I want to cover a product that's available to investors for those investors that don't want to see negative balances or red in your portfolio. We've touched on these a couple of weeks ago. I had a lot of emails on this, so I'm going to touch on it again. And these are what we call fixed indexed annuities. Now, they may have withdrawal, early withdrawal penalties in their terms and conditions, and they're not FDIC insured, so I'll just preface that. But they are insured by the underlying insurance company, and what they are, an annuity is a contract. You give them money, either over a long period of time or just one lump savings, one lump sum, and they promise to do something. So in times of prolonged market crashes, I know that some of you grow weary of falling balances and the subsequent stress of seeing your hard-earned money disappear down the rat hole of Wall Street. Some of you may pull out altogether in times of panic and only get back in months or even years after the next market rally has taken place that finally lures you out of the shadows under the FOMO auspice, FOMO, fear of missing out. That's what we say, FOMO. When FOMO, fear of missing out, lures you out of the shadows to dip your toes back in the markets. And unfortunately, this usually happens for the retail investors after the markets have run a long way up. And you are emboldened and end up buying at what might be the end of the next rally. So this a late to the party type of practice, which a lot of retail investors actually unknowingly do, they also unknowingly set themselves up for another shellacking when you get in at the end of the next rally. It turns into another crash. Rinse and repeat, and you end up giving back even more money because you unknowingly are off on your market timing. So that's why I always advocate stops in your portfolio. If you buy something, just have a sell price. So if it falls, you're out at some point. Just say, if I buy a stock and it falls 5%, I'm out, or whatever that number is. There is no right number. It's investor specific. So, yeah, if the stock market, you know, will crash from time to time, and it will take some of your gains back, and sometimes some of your principal if it crashes are nasty enough. But if you lose sleep when these setbacks happen, there's another way to participate in market upswings, yet never expose your principal to negative performance. You can't lose any money, okay? If the insurance company that backs up your contract goes under, which is rare. It can happen. But, you know, these bigger insurance companies, we've found out, although not guaranteed by the government may back up large insurance companies if there's a lot of people in these annuities or in these pension plans or what have you. Well, I've always said if you're going to fail, make sure you fail in a big pack. If your annuity goes under for some reason and you're the only one that it went under because you didn't do something right, well, the Fed's not going to help you. But if you're with an insurance company that has like 200,000 annuities, well, you tell me, right? They bailed out General Motors and they bailed out all sorts of things. So I can't promise they'll bail you out, but the propensity of the Fed, at least in the last 30 or 40 years, is they don't want a lot of people to go broke. So anyway, a fixed annuity, fixed index annuity, is sold by an insurance company, and it's a contract between you and the company. The annuity, the one that I'm specifically talking about today, offers you a 1% annual interest rate, tax-free, because annuities are tax-free, whether you hold them in an IRA or not. You get the 1% tax-free for the entire 7 years of the contract. 7 years is the minimum amount that you have to commit to. You can, nowadays, in this specific annuity, take out 10% a year after the 13th month if you want with no penalty. They kind of changed that to be able you to take out some money if you need it. And during COVID, you could actually, they had some exceptions where you could take out money out of annuity with no penalty at all, even if you were over the 10%. But in any case, they'll pay you about 1% a year, tax-free, for 7 years, which is about 7.2% at the end of the 7 years. Now, you can leave your money in longer if you want, but so the 7 years is basically what it starts out at. Now, 7.2% over 7 years is not fantastic, but it is guaranteed and added to the principal. So you're guaranteed by the insurance company to get your principal back and 7.2% on top of that. But if that was it, I wouldn't even mention it. But there's an added feature they have that's called market participation, and it works like this. When you sign your contract and the day it becomes valid, it does so on a certain day, like a close of escrow, and that is your day. So let's say you give the money, you sign your papers are looked at by all the compliance officers and the attorneys, everybody says, okay, it's good to go, and you get your annuity comes in force on April 1st. There are a variety of stock market indexes. You usually hear about the Dow, but another big one is the S&P 500, and that's usually carried on the news as well. The S&P 500 index is measured on your day. So let's say it's April 1st. And it has a number, okay? Now, 12 months later, exactly on the same day, they measure it again. Now, if the S&P 500 market, if that index is higher, your account is credited a portion of the increase. You don't get the complete increase, but you get a portion of it. How much of a portion varies depending on when you sign the contract. Right now, the one I'm looking at is about 34%. So you get a third of the market increase, and the insurance company keeps two-thirds, okay? And they credit your account that one-third, let's say. Now, if the market drops in the next 12 months, they don't take it back, okay? Your account stays with that positive number. And then in the next 12 months, they measure it again. Again, if the S&P then dropped, you keep the same amount of money. They don't take it back. So let's say the market runs in the first year, you get a third of that. And then the second year it falls, you keep your third. And then they measure the S&P on the anniversary date. Even though it fell, that's your new number. So you now have a lower number, not a lower amount in your contract, but a lower number. So if the S&P when you bought it was 5,000 and it went to 6,000 in the first year, then you would get a third of that. And then let's say the S&P goes from 6,000 down to 4,000 in the second year. You don't give any of it back. You keep that. And then 4,000 is your new number. So in the third year, let's say it goes from 4,000 back to where you bought it, or even below where you bought it, 5,000 or 4,800. You get a third of that added onto it. So it only stair steps up and never goes back down. So they don't take it back. If it goes up, you get the increase. If it goes down, they don't take it back. So you can only stair step up. Your account will never lose a penny. You get 7.2% or the increase of the market over the 7 years. I repeat that process every year. Whichever is greater is what you get. So it's kind of like having a CD, although a CD is FDIC insured and these are not. And the problem with a CD, if you get a lot of inflation, the CD doesn't gain anything. It just gives you that little bit of interest that they pay. In this particular case, you can't lose any money in it because of the insurance company's guarantee. But if the market goes up, you can make more money than the interest rate. So I kind of look at it like a CD that can go up more than what a normal CD would go up. And remember, these are not FDIC insured. They're only insured by the insurance company. There are no fees if you don't violate the minimum withdrawal limits, and the contract is guaranteed by the underlying insurance company, not FDIC. Just be aware of that. And the participation rate that they can give you can change every 12 months if they want. And they do change the participation rate. So let's say you buy it now and you get 34% of the market in the first year. They might pull it down to 33 or 32, or they could increase it. I've seen them increase it as well. Historically, they don't really move them a lot every year because they know that you would be very happy if they did that. So you can see a little bit of movement in participation rate. And they don't guarantee any minimums or maximums there. But as a general rule, historically at least, they don't kind of move a lot. In conclusion, a fixed indexed annuity may be suitable for investors that want their principal and some rate of return guaranteed with no downside movement in the balances. There are an option. And the best time, at least in my opinion, to purchase these is when the market's been hammered. Because if the market's been hammered, it can come back with a vengeance. So like on 08 and 09, the market, you know, got cut in half. And in the next 3 or 4 years, it skyrocketed upward. Same thing when the market got hit for COVID in March 2020. It fell 38%, the Dow did, in about 3 weeks or so. And then it came roaring back. So if you bought, let's say, an annuity prior to the COVID March 2020 crash, when the market crashed, you didn't lose anything. But when the market went up, you got a third of it. So as the market crashes, fixed index annuities don't go anywhere, but you can get a participation in the rebound. Fixed index annuities. Okay, you can always send me more questions on those if you like, and we'll be right back to continue the show. You're listening to Money Matters on your community radio station.
Come on.
Okay, welcome back to Money Matters on your community radio station. My name's Mark Cunabrody. Thanks for joining me today. We're on show, show 348, entitled Pain or Gain Ahead. And the reason I entitled the show that way is the obvious question for a lot of investors right now is the crash in stocks that took out the first 10 weeks of this year over? Or are we just seeing a technical bounce in the indexes, only to be followed by another painful round of more red in the future? Tough question. You know, the analysts are split on what is to come. And I have to admit, where this thing could go is what I call a crapshoot. And I do hate using that term when it comes to the stock market. It's not a crapshoot. But in this particular case, which way the market goes, you know, I really can't tell you. There's a lot to fear in the months ahead, and there's a lot to like. So crapshoot, you know, may be the proper word. On the negative side, you know, certain things scare the hell out of me. Currency events, you know, like when the Greece defaults on their dollar or other sovereign event. A sovereign event means a national, you know, country event. And there are many that have made the news, the Greek default, Cyprus, et cetera, et cetera. They had trouble with their currency. Italy, the lira, they were going to have trouble with their currency. Those that use the euro now, of course. When an entire country gets into trouble, either domestically with its economy or globally with its currency, this kind of event can wreak havoc on world markets. And right now, the economies of the world, at least in my opinion, are at an inflection point due to the COVID shutdowns, COVID itself, inflationary pressures, and now we have that idiot in Russia shelling nuclear power plants as he tries to invade Ukraine. Interest rate manipulations by a G7 country, by a large country, they scare me. The biggest dog in the fight in the G7 nations, of course, is the USA, and interest rate increases by central banks can roil global financial systems. And, you know, case in point, the U.S. Federal Reserve has started and will continue to raise interest rates in an attempt to harness our terrible inflation. The interest rate moves they will make as a result of this attempt to address our rising prices, which are upward interest rates, they have a historical tendency to slow markets and will likely put negative pressure on equities, at least at the onset of the price increases. Now, historically, the market can do very well in a period of rising rates after the rates have taken place. So there could be some more pain because of the increase in interest rates, but as a general rule, historically, sometimes we see the markets actually respond favorably because interest rates are supposed to strengthen an economy, and when you raise interest rates, you're strengthening the economy in the long run. As a side note, you know, the continued bite of inflation that we see now could put a damper on our spending, right? Although energy prices are a big part of inflation, you know, when you raise the price of oil, you increase the price of just about everything because everything's made of oil or is powered by oil or is shipped by something that uses oil. So oil prices, or increase in oil prices, which is partially, you know, because of the Russian problem. It's partially because of the move to try to get people away from drilling. And then in the midst of all this, Washington is flip-flopping on oil companies. Once again, you know, initially, as you know, Washington, the current administration, was against more drilling. Okay. Now, just on March 31st, I saw President Biden's speech that was pleading to these same oil companies that he was trying to rein in from drilling to increase drilling now, to increase supply. And he also threatened them with fines. If they have a lease of land from the government that they're not drilling on. So basically he's saying, if you've got drill leases and you're not drilling on it, we're gonna fine you. Oil execs are probably rolling their eyeballs and saying, I don't trust these guys because, you know, first you didn't want me to drill, and now you want me to drill, and if I don't drill, you're going to fine me. So I think oil companies are going to continue to play middle court in response to their to their not knowing where Washington will go next as it pertains to businesses. I mean, what they're afraid of is they're going to invest all this money to start drilling again, and then when this crisis passes and oil prices come down, they're going to shut them down again, and they, you know, they want to spend a lot of money opening up an oil field if they're going to be shut down in 2 years. So I'm sure they're like rolling their heads going, what the heck? There's always things that we don't know that can threaten the market. It's called a black swan event. A black swan event is an event that is random and unforeseen, like 9/11 or a tsunami or something of that sort. So that's always a threat. But since they're random, we really can't do anything to prepare for them. So I myself don't really worry about black swan events. But I'm sure there are people that are out there that say, well, what happens if another tsunami hits or a volcano erupts or something like that? But kind of senseless to actually worry about something because we don't know when it'll happen. On the plus side, there's a lot of good things about what's happening in the economy that will affect the markets. We're reopening from COVID, from the shutdowns. Consumers are obviously ready to travel, ready to vacation, ready to eat out, ready to shop. And from a year-over-year comparison, there's really nowhere to go but up, right? As the shutdowns hammered restaurants and hammered airlines and hammered vacation spots and venues and cruise ships. So any income, any increase in their revenue is going to be a comparison year-over-year is going to look great. As people start to re-engage with their life, many industries that were previously hurt by the shutdowns will start to see their revenues climb, and maybe by a lot, and their stock prices should reflect that. The biggest dog in the fight, again, is monetary considerations, monetary standing for money, okay? There are some positives and some negatives, but there's an old saying, never fight the Fed. Now, what that means is federal spending by the government, which is fiscal, okay, fiscal spending. That's what it's called when the government spends money. That's fiscal mechanism. Fiscal spending has been and continues to be off the charts, right? It is said we don't fight the Fed. And what that means is if federal spending increases for all this COVID relief and the unemployment and the care package and the program protection package, much of that spending historically ends up in stock markets, boosting stock prices. So although that money is thrown out on the American consumer to try to help the consumer, a lot of it just goes into the stock market. Whether you like it or not, that's where a lot of it goes. So although many of the federal COVID spending programs are done, there's still a lot of money in the pipeline. There's a lot of money in the pipeline from all these programs, and that will continue to go through these conduits into the economy. And incredibly, there are still more programs that Washington is talking about. And if they go through, even more funds will be showered down onto you and I and into corporate America for sure. All in all, there are many cross currents, both negative and positive, to consider about what's going to happen with the market. And the final result of all these different events, the sum of all these events, positive and negative, really nobody can tell what's going to happen. The sum of the negatives and positives will definitely jerk the markets all over the place, and they are being jerked all over the place. They're going up 500 and down 500, but as they say, round and round, where we stop, nobody really knows. One thing is certain, I've mentioned this before, many of the stay-at-home stocks have been badly hammered since we started reopening up. They started to be hammered, late part of 2021. And a lot of these have been beaten up 70, 80, 90%. I'm not going to give you any names. I did that in previous shows. And in my newsletter, I've mentioned some names. I'm not going to do that on the show today. But if you are careful and you do your research, a slow accumulation of really beaten down good companies that have been hammered since about 4 or 5 months ago, that may bode well for the long-term investor with long-term goals. Not a recommendation to buy or sell any securities, et cetera, et cetera. And definitely not a recommendation for investment advice, just my commentary and my opinion. Okay, we'll be back with the last part of the show in just a minute. My name is Mark Cunaberti. You're listening to Money Matters on your community radio station.
Money. It's a gas.
Okay, welcome back to Money Matters. My name is Mark Cunaberti. You have been listening to show 348 on the community radio station entitled Pain or Gain Ahead. And we didn't get to energy inflation today, but we'll do that on the next show. But we did cover fixed index annuities and whether there's more pain or gain ahead for you. Okay, remember that the show is my opinion, and my opinion only, and may not necessarily reflect those of this radio station, staff members, or underwriters, and should not be construed as investment advice. I hold California Insurance License OL34249 and a Medicare agent approved in the state of California. Our website is free. Our way of saying thank you for listening to your community radio station, MoneyManagementRadio.com is the website, and we don't spam you or anything. There's no charge or anything like that. It's just our thank you gifts for tuning in to your community radio station. Okay, remember, go make some money, as money does matter, and the matters of money affect us all in some way or another. My name is Mark Cunaberti. You have been listening to Money Matters. Have a great day.